It's good to be here as ever, and good to see all of you. And thank you, Stuart, and thank you, Elaine, for leading in worship. There's one or two hymns there I've never sung before, but they're just wonderful. So thank you. Last week and this week, we're looking at the premise of a divine promise. And we're using 1 Samuel chapter 1 as the text for the 2 weeks. And last week we had part 1, which took us up to verse 18. I would like for us shortly, if we could get it up on the screen, to read 19 to 28. But before we do that, it will probably be helpful for me to remind you, I know you don't really need this, right? Because you remember every word of it. But just for the purpose of Stuart and Elaine. Yeah. So let me just summarize a little to bring us up to date, right? Before we move on. So in this chapter, we have a man by the name of Elkanah. And he's reasonably wealthy, partly because we've seen that he's got 2 wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah had several children, it seemed at least 10 sons, but Hannah had none. And Peninnah is making negative comments to Hannah for being barren, for being unable to give birth, because as the Bible says, God closed her womb. That's what the Bible says. So Hannah goes to the temple and prayed, and I quote, it says, in anguish and grief, right, for a son. And the priest misjudged her when she was praying in this way that you can't teach people to pray. She was being just herself in anguish and grief. And the priest thought she was drunk. We ended by seeing how Hannah's prayer represented a way for her to, was a way for her to empty herself of negative feelings like frustration and unhappiness and bitterness and a range of other unhealthy thoughts and feelings. She emptied herself. Poured herself out to God. And we observed that sometimes we question, why have we been waiting so long for some things from God? And we saw how God says, you think you've been waiting so long for me to do something? Do you know how long I have been waiting on you to do what I want you to do, because until you do what I want you to do, I can't or won't do what you want. And that was a significant question that we looked at. Once Hannah emptied herself, she got a word from God through the priest. And I read what she got, verse 17. The priest said, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And then we ended the sermon at verse 18. Then Hannah went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She emptied herself, and then there was like this joy. Yes, I've done it. Right, so we now come to verses 19 to 28, and we're going to read it together. Yeah, 19 to 28. Should we read? Yeah, you want to stand, sit, what you want to do? Sit, right? So let's read. Early rose the Lord back to their home at Ram. Elkanah lay with his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived, and she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you." Elkanah, her husband, told her, "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, along with a 3-year-old bull and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. That's God's word, and we give him thanks for it. Amen. So this is the premise of a divine promise, part 2. Now the Bible has many stories in which people gave thanks and praise to God after they had been blessed. Right? That's, the Bible is full of that. And this includes women who were pregnant and given births. For example, after her immaculate conception, in Luke chapter 1, we have what's called the Magnificat, right? Which is really Mary's hymn or song of praise to our Lord. And the first few words read, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Amen. Hannah also got a word from God, and then she gave birth to a son, Samuel. Now, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, that's the next chapter after the one we are looking at, you will see that it's titled, who knows what it's titled as? Hannah's Prayer, or Hannah's Song of Thanksgiving. So what we have here is Hannah burst out in praise of God. And let me read you. When you have time, try and read it for yourself. Verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2. It's just magnificent words. Here are some. "My heart exalts in the Lord. There is no one like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. He brings down to Sheol, the grave, and raises up. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the ash heap. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he sets the world on them." Just a few of the words from Hannah's song of thanksgiving. A magnificent song of thanksgiving. Read it if you can. So, in the end, this is what it boils down to. The woman who was given a word from God sings. The pregnant woman sings. The woman who has given birth to a child sings. But watch this. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren woman. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song. Sing, O barren woman. Barren areas in your life. Areas that are as good as dead. The Lord says, sing. To the person whose door is shut, the Lord says, sing. When you can't see a way out, sing. When things are getting worse instead of better, sing. Nothing has happened yet. But God says, sing praises and thanks. Sing till the door is opened. Because the door will be opened. Stop being downcast and start praising God, for your latter days shall be greater than your former days. Sing, O barren woman, you who have never given birth, break into loud and joyful song. So it is all good, well and good, for the person who's got a word from God, for the one who is pregnant, for the one who has given birth, to sing thanksgiving. But take it to another level. And God says, when you can't see any or don't have any of that, sing, O barren woman. So Hannah goes home. And the Bible says, Elkanah knew his wife. Lay with his wife, made love to his wife. That's how some different version puts it. Now you might not think it was God who made Elkanah knew his wife. But oh yes, it was. Oh yes, it was. You see, when God gets ready to bless you, he will open doors that you could not even see or that you thought could never be opened. Understand this. Everyone and everything is in God's hands. And when he is ready to bless you, he will make people nicer to you. And your application will move from the last to the first. The council people, the surveyors, the judge, the court, the doctors, the neighbors that's hassling you, they are all in the hands of God. And when he gets ready to bless you, they're all going to be really nice to you. Hannah went home after she emptied herself and got a word from God, and Elkanah was really nice to her. So, whilst Elkanah is in the process of knowing Hannah, God is in the process of remembering her. Now watch this. If Elkanah doesn't do his part, nothing will happen. But there is a problem. The problem is this. Elkanah did his part before, and nothing happened. There was no child. But when God got involved, there was a different outcome. But Elkanah still had to do his part. When God got involved, there's a different outcome. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I planted the seed. Remember that? I planted the seed. Who was it? Apollos. And who gave the growth? God. I planted. Apollos watered it. But it is God who gives the growth, who makes it grow. You see, there are some things, if God doesn't do them, they don't get done. But we still have to do our part. God remembered Hannah, and here it is, he remembers you. He remembers you. He remembers you. Think of the times when the Lord remembered you. Just think. All the nights you cried. All the times you've been without. People forget you. But God doesn't. So Hannah has her baby, and this is when it becomes fascinating. And this is where I get to tell you a little bit about one of the things I did in my childhood days. A long time ago.
How long?
Too long, Eric. You are far too young to... In my childhood days, about 50 years ago, one of the things I did for leisure, this is in Guyana, right? South America, in a remote village near to the jungle. One of the things I did for leisure and fun was fishing. There's no phone, it's no TV, there is nothing. Fishing? Ha! It's like heaven. Heavenly. But it wasn't the way that people fish over here. So how did we do it? You cut a long bamboo or a branch from a tree, and you tie a plastic twine at the end of it, and about there is a hook, proper hook dangling at the bottom of this cord, and about 10 inches or more, depending on the depth of the water, there is a cork that floats, right? Because you would need to see when the fish takes the hook and the cork goes under, then you know, action. Okay? So, for bait, you know what we did? The day before, we would go and dig up the soil and get live worms, earthworms. You put them in a container and packed it with clay, like dirt, soil, to keep them alive and moist. And then the next day you fish with live worms. You take one, put it on the hook, and that's how we fish. It's fun, absolute fun, I tell you. Now, I don't do any fishing in this country for a number of reasons, and I'll tell you two of them. One, because it's far too cultured. You got to get a license. You got to go to the shop and buy a rod and reel, and I don't think they use so much live baits here. I don't know what you use. But apart from all of that, it's just too cold. Right? And I tell you, I look, and I don't know if it irritates me or I admire. I think I both. It irritates me. And I admire it also when I see people sit there all day and they catch one fish, and then after a few moments they put the thing back. And I'm thinking, if people from where I come from see this, they will think they need to be admitted to some mental hospital. All day catch one fish and then you put it back. Yeah, right. Well, there is a reason for telling you that story. Coming to it in a minute. I think you will agree with me that generally people see the test of faith as being blessed with something that you don't have or didn't have previously, right? So I want to be healed, I'm not healed at present. Faith says, I want to be healed, I'm healed. That's my test of faith. That's just an example, all right? Good. I don't have enough. I prayed and trusted in God for more, and I get more. Test of faith. But I want you to see something else about faith. And for me, the greater test of faith is not so much or only about believing God to be blessed with something that you don't currently have. The greater test of faith is this. When you finally get what you've been waiting for years, you then have to give it up. After all the hell you've been through, and you are now holding the baby in your arms, now you have to give him up. That, my friends, is the greater test of faith. A bit like waiting all day in the freezing cold to catch one fish and then give it back up to the water. When Hannah was praying for her son, listen to what she said. In verse 11, Lord Almighty, if you will look on my misery and remember me and give me a son, I will give him back to you. She prayed in grief and anguish, and God remembered her. Verses 21 and 22. Let me read that now for you. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She stayed home with her child for 2 years to bond with him. So, how many men we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let me talk to you directly. Ladies, just listen. Let me talk to you folks directly. There is a bond between a mother, a real mother I'm talking about, right? And a child that is unique and amazing. Something that even a father has to stand back, respect, and admire. For those of you who are fathers, did I get that right? When her son was 2 years old, she took him to the temple. Samuel, my baby, I waited a long time for you. And we've had 2 years bonding with each other. But I have to leave you in this place. A place you have never been to before, and with people you don't know. And it's not like I'm coming to pick you up at 3 o'clock after school. You, Samuel, are staying here permanently. Don't cry, my son. I will see you from time to time. She kissed him and said, maybe through tears, Samuel, This is the hardest thing I have ever had to do. But I made a vow to the Lord, and I am going to honor it. The greater proof of Hannah's faith is not that God remembered her and blessed her with a son, but that Hannah remembered God. That's the greatest test of her faith. You see, it is no test that God remembered Hannah and blessed her. God doesn't have amnesia. There is never a question as to whether God remembers you. The question is, do you remember God? Can you remember the times when you were in a bit of bother and prayed, Lord, if you give me this job, Lord, if I just get a second chance, Lord, if I could just pass the exam, Lord, if I could get through this situation, maybe on your knees and begging, Lord, if only, if you grant your blessings, I will do this and I will do that. Remember them promises that you made? That if God was to bless you in a certain way, well, God did bless you. God remembers you. Do you remember God? You see, sometimes God blesses us to test us, to see if we would take the blessing and walk away, or whether we will come back. You remember the story in the New Testament? There were 10 lepers whom Jesus healed, but only one came back to say thanks. And Jesus said to him, and this is crucial, people look it over very quickly. Jesus said to him, 10 of you were healed, but you, to the one who came back and said thanks. He said, 10 of you were healed, but you, sir, have been made whole. 10 of you were healed. You would have thought healing, that's it. He came back, said thanks, and Jesus said, 10 of you were healed, but you, sir, you've been made whole. You can be healed and you can be blessed in countless ways, but not be made whole. Think about it. What it means to be made whole, that's another sermon, Tony. All right? It's a whole new sermon. But there is something about remembering God that is more than healing, that is more than deliverance, more than having the womb open. It is about being made whole, body, soul, mind, spirit, the lot. Do you know that God has a tattoo? I said that because I know some Christians who argue whether people should have tattoos or not. Right? In Isaiah 49 verse 16, let me read it for you. The New Living Translation Bible says, God has written your name. And the NIV, the New International Version, says, and several other versions, God has engraved you. Never mind your name. You know where? On the palm of his hands, God's tattoo. your name, you, on the palms of his hands. Parents can forget you. Family forget you. Children forget you. But God says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will guide you through the waters and the fire. If I take you to the grave, I'll bring you back. If your back is to the wall, I'll open the door. If they curse you, I will bless you. And your enemy shall be my enemy. You, my people, don't need to be concerned if I will remember you. The question is, will you remember me? Hannah prayed in grief and anguish. She was even called drunk. She went through a lot, waited a long time to get her baby. But she said, I will not let anything separate me from my promise to God. So she brought him in to God and goes home without Samuel. Peninnah's children are still running around in the home, at least 10 of them. And Hannah is right back in the same situation that she was in before, at home, without a child at home. Right back where she started. She doesn't know if she would have another child. But one could hear her say, if I never have another baby, at least I had the experience. So thank you, God, for the 2 years I had with my Samuel. And I asked the Lord, and this is true, whilst preparing this sermon, why take her through all of that? And when she finally have the child, she gave him up. What's the point, Lord? What is the point here? And then I was enlightened. All Hannah saw was one child. Give me a son. But that one child was the test. The test to see if she would keep her promise. She prayed, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And God said to me, she gave me one. But I gave her back five. Look at 1 Samuel. Well, let me read it for you. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 21. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Samuel was the test. You said, you want a child, and if I give him to you, you'll give him back to me. All you saw, Hannah, was one. But because you honored your promise, I am giving you 5 more. Her eyes didn't see. Her ears didn't hear. Neither did it enter Hannah's heart the things that God had in store for her. She's going to have baby after baby after baby. 5 of them. Here is the point. If you can trust God through a loss, like giving up that blessing, on the other side awaits a breakthrough and an increase. She gave back one and got 5 more in return. So I was thinking, and I thought of the disciples of Christ. They left their families and their work to follow Jesus. Then there was a problem. There were rumors that they were going to kill Jesus. You know, if I leave family and job and everything else to follow you, and then they're going to kill you, that's a problem, isn't it? And Jesus said to them and to us, and I quote Mark chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive how many fold? 100-fold. Not in the next life, but in this life. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100-fold. Not in the next life, but in this life. End of quote. Mark 10, 29, 30. And sometimes I wonder and ask God, where is my 100-fold? Lord, where is it? I can't see it. And the Lord said to me, what did you come with to the United Kingdom in 1987? We, four of us, came in March 1987, four of us, with two suitcases and £900, my life's savings. I would not start studying, training, and working in the NHS until June of that year because there was some problem. I had anticipated starting in April. Now, we have to pay rent, bills, and live off £900 for about 3 to 4 months. And I wasn't qualified, none of us, for Social Security. Believe me, I tried. I went to St. James's, where they had the office then. And they expressed all kinds of sympathy for me, but we can't help you. A lovely member called Irene of the Baptist Church in Westgate Road, where we went sometimes, had to stand as a guarantor for me to get a cheap television from Currys to help keep the children occupied. God said, that's what you had. And then he said to me, now count what you've got. And you are asking me, where is your 100-fold? And would you believe, I counted what I got. Now I know you can't always judge blessings by just material things. But just let's use this as an illustration. And I counted what I've got now. And you know what? You know what, Eric? It's not 100-fold. It is more than 1,000-fold. More than 1,000-folds. When I think of the goodness of the Lord and how he remembered me, my heart cries out praises to him. God has blessed us all in countless ways. He hasn't just blessed me with material things. When I came here, I had one friend, one person I knew. Just one. Because she was the daughter of some of my parishioners in the Presbyterian church that I was minister of in Trinidad and Tobago. Today, look at all the people that I now know and who embrace me, including all of you. How do you put a rating to that? 1-fold, 10-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, 1,000,000-fold? Blessings galore. He remembered us. He remembers us. And he will remember us. There is no question about God remembering us now and in the future. He has blessed us with more than 100-fold. The question is, do we remember him? That's the question. And that's the end of part two. The premise of a divine promise.